This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Save our environment, save ourselves, or say so. Their main goal is to fight against food waste and food poverty. But they are also working to build communities, in particular amongst people who are suffering from social isolation. And I find out how they do this from Tan Shi Wen. She is the founder and CEO of Say So. Welcome, Shi Wen. How are you today?
Hi. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much, BFM, for having me here today. It's such a pleasure. A little background about myself. My name is Shuan, and I'm the founder and CEO of SESO, which correctly pointed out is Safe Environment, Save Ourselves.
Yes.
I am actually also a partner of a legal firm in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So you can call me a lawyer by profession and SESO by compulsion.
The compulsion is the one that really drives us.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So SESO... It is a non-profit social enterprise, which was founded in late 2017. Mm-hmm. And the main aim is to reduce food waste and as well as to reduce food poverty in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And how we do it is we spread hate projects and campaigns with food-related organizations and corporations in Malaysia to increase food waste awareness, as well as to promote the food waste and tackle food waste issues. Mm-hmm. We also help to build communities. And how we do it is we collect surplus groceries from our partner grocery stores. Sure. And our volunteers, enthusiastic volunteers, will cook them into a 3-course meal. And how we like to say we are a bit different from the usual soup kitchen in Malaysia is that we actually bring our own tables and chairs and set up like a pop-up mamak in the middle of Petaling Street. Mm-hmm. And sit down and have a 3-course warm meal dinner with our street friends.
Okay, all right. And have you like sort of established certain places that you go to?
Yes, we do. So we do it every alternate Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we do it in front of Bangkok Bank next to Central Market. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so... I mean, just a little experience about the journey and, you know, the past 1 year, what we have established and what we learned. And something which really touched our heart is definitely, remember the first few times when we started doing these communal meals to the street friends, people were very, very reluctant to actually sit down when we tried to ask them to let's sit down and have a meal together. They just wanted to take the food and go and, you know, just rushing, very impatient. But now, if you have a chance to join us on Saturday at our SESO meal, you'll realize people, when our cars arrive, the street friends will actually volunteer themselves to carry the tables and chairs for us and sit down patiently, because all they care is to actually share a moment mm-hmm. with their friends and just patiently wait for SESO to set up the food. And we serve them course by course, 3-course meal, mm-hmm. and the volunteers will sit down and have a meal with them to share their stories.
It's lovely. And I guess, you know, you build a small little community from that, and there's correct. A lot of camaraderie, and that's like you said, you know, a lot of them are facing social isolation, am I correct?
Correct.
So
that's also the feedback that we have gathered. They really, it's not so much about the food sometimes, it's really about to have someone to talk to.
Often I suppose street friends, as you call them, you know, mm-hmm. They are just ignored, right, by society
very
largely
much, and they have no confidence to even be included in the society. So we're there to tell them, you know, it's fine, you still have someone to talk to. And all these stories that they shared will really blow your mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember I was in England at the time, and mm-hmm. I just smiled at somebody who didn't have a home. Mm. And he was just so grateful that somebody smiled at him, because, you know, he was completely ignored the whole time. But anyway, so you also tackle food waste, right, and food poverty. So where are you seeing most food waste coming from in terms of, you know, based on your experiences in this area?
Definitely a lot of food waste coming from restaurants, hotels, but that's not our focus at the moment, because again, we don't want to serve food which are already cooked.
Sure.
We want to like cook from scratch, so we're targeting on groceries only at this point.
Okay.
So we are partnering with grocery stores, but again, it's a very big challenge, because not every grocery partners would want to just give up food like that. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of protocols and policies in place which we need to tackle and to convince them, actually, in fact, to make sure that we are making good use of the supplies that are being collected or donated by these grocery stores.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, talk to me about that, you know, how the partners that you do have, how did you sort of bridge those gaps? How did you, you know, get into a conversation with them and, you know, get them on board?
I think start slow and start from very little volume. That's definitely the first step. what we have have tried is to convince them not to make any promises. So it can be on ad hoc basis only when we need them. So when you don't push them to become a responsibility or a kind of promise for you, they tend to be more willing to sponsor or donate the surplus as it is or as when we need them.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, there's always those problems about maintaining food safety,
That's
food
right.
hygiene and all of that. And how do you address those sorts of things?
So I think there are two things. We serve three-course meal, coming back to the meals that we serve again. Mm-hmm. So one is appetizer, and the main course always will contain a protein. So we do not collect surplus protein because protein is very difficult to identify from your naked eyes, sure. whether it's safe to be consumed. Mm-hmm. So for vegetables, for fruits, those are okay because it will indicate on the surface of the food itself. So you just cut away those ugly parts, the dark parts, and to ensure safety. And we do our in-house cooking, mm-hmm. and it's reliable cafe or reliable people that are making the dishes. So that part, hopefully, we are ensuring food safety. Mm-hmm. So protein itself, we will purchase on that day to ensure freshness.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
and protein is something that we really emphasize to have because based on the feedback from the street friends, those are what they really need mm-hmm. to have, a nutritious meal
well
for the day.
Well-balanced meal, right?
That's right.
Okay, all right. And talk to me about your volunteers. Obviously some of them are chefs.
Yeah.
Or good at cooking at the very least.
Coming to cooking, we used to do in-house cooking. So sure. I started off with doing the cooking in my house. And of course,
that's how it always starts.
I know. And you have your mom next to you trying to tell you, you're burning down my kitchen. You were like having too much oil. But started off with just in-house cooking with no knowledge at all. You realize what are the food that should be in the meal and what are the ingredients that you need the most.
Sure.
So I was so silly because no experience. I used to fry, for example, 40 eggs or 80 eggs. Imagine using a single pan to fry 40 eggs. That's just exhausting.
Right.
So we learned from there. And now, fortunately, we managed to attract some volunteers. So they have come forward. Like chef and cafes who are collaborating with us. We are also trying to engage more of single mother, street friends. We have identified a few who are actually cooks.
Right.
So we have plans to engage them to help us to do the cooking as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So currently, where do you do the cooking? It can't be in your kitchen anymore.
No. So it's not in my kitchen because we have grown from serving, 20 to 40, and now every session is just more than 150 street friends.
Wow.
So we have a partner cafe, which is called Grain. They are based in Kota Damansara.
Mm-hmm.
Padana. They help to do the cooking because they have a commercial kitchen mm-hmm. there. Or we do it with a few houses. So we'll separate appetizer in one house with a retired person or the other house for a single mother. So we have been separating the different meals for different people to cook
mm-hmm.
to lessen the burden.
And to not have your mother,
That's right.
get very irritated with you, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's been growing, you started in 2017, late 2017. Mm. It's not actually a long time. But it's grown so much, you would say.
I would say last year was a really good year. We managed to feed more than 2,000 meals.
Mm-hmm.
We served more than 2,000 meals to the street friends. But again, apart from doing the serving for communal meals, our main focus is also to spread hate projects and campaigns to increase awareness of food waste in Malaysia because
sure.
that is still the root of the problem of food waste that we see.
And how are you doing that? What sort of campaigns are you working on?
So, just to give an example, we started off, the first event that we had was with this fine dining restaurant. It's called Stoke. And because it's fine dining, people always have the impression that surplus food is rubbish, is trash, you cannot eat them. It's only for people who can't afford good food or people who just have got no food and no choice, but they have them. So, we partner with this fine dining restaurant and they serve a full course fine dining, a 5-course meal, and just change the impression of the public. We invite people to come and tell them that these are surplus. So basically really just to change the impression of food itself.
Mm-hmm.
Then now we are running quite a big campaign. It's called the Unleash Captain Zero campaign, which we partner with different universities. So we are starting with really young people. They are the future, right?
Of course.
So they are running a 3-week campaign in their own university, from setting out booths to share information on food waste or to their cafeteria on how you can reduce food. to donating, actually collecting a food bank in their university, and those surplus that they collect will be used for one of the SESO sessions that they are collaborating with us.
Yeah,
so really want them to just experience the whole journey as to how, you know, you educate people in, you know, just do it small first in their own premise, and to collecting surplus and to serving end of the day at the SESO meal.
It's very very comprehensive, I would say. It's great, well-rounded. I'm speaking today to Tan Xiu, and she is the founder and CEO of SESO, or Save Our Environment and Save Ourselves. And we're talking about the organization, the work that the organization does. And after this quick break, we're going to be joined by Gary Liu, who is the founder of Street Feeders, and he's also a co-partner of SESO. And we're going to be discussing how they are collaborating to bring this all together. You are listening to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Before the break, you heard from Tan Xiu, and she's the founder and CEO of SESO, or Save Our Environment and Save Ourselves. And now joining the both of us in the studio is Gary Liu. He is the founder of Street Feeders. He's also a co-partner of SESO. And we are talking about, you know, collaborations and how we can all work together actually to reduce food waste and to save our environment, as SESO stands for. Gary, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be in a new studio.
Yes, our swanky new office. Yes, we're very proud of it. But before we even get started on that, I mean, if you could just remind people about Street Feeders and how we got started.
So we started 8 years ago. I had been, well, my journey started a bit before that. My mom started me 20 years ago at her soup kitchen. And about 8 years ago, I wanted to do something. I didn't know what to do. All the NGOs out there didn't look like me. And so I thought, instead of waiting for someone to knock on my door, I'll build my own door. And so we have grown it ever since. We are currently in 10 cities, 5 are locally and 5 are international.
Amazing. Well done. Tell me, I mean, where are those different places now?
Overseas, we are in India, Seoul, Korea, Dublin, Ireland. We just opened in Hong Kong and in Indonesia as well.
And how did you actually, you know, branch out like that? You know, I mean, what sort of work went into doing something like that?
Lots of traveling, but a lot of great people with great hearts who sees the community that needs, that has a need, and they want to do something towards that.
Okay, all right. And so you've been, so in essence, what is the sort of work that Street Feeders does?
So if the end goal is to get them off the streets, it's everything that leads on that journey. We started initially by feeding the homeless, and that's always the first step in the right direction. But everything to do with their welfare, housing, job placement, medical, we cover all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's looking after the needs, essentially.
Exactly,
of the
and
people.
It's a form of reintegrating them back into society, whatever shape or form that might take.
Mm-hmm. So when you do meet the people who are in need of this, I mean, what is the sort of like, what is the sort of the first meeting like, you know, and how does, and how have you seen like the progress with them?
So I tackle it basically as how I would with any friend. You start by asking them their names, their stories, their hopes, their dreams. And along that way, you build on that relationship. You earn their trust. You find out what their needs are, what's their problems, and you work towards it. Like I said, it's not as complicated in my head, because I would do the same for any friend who is in need of a little bit of a helping hand as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think, but that is the key, you know, not everyone looks at others as their friends, you know, so that is an important thing to remember. So, I mean, talk to me about how you started, how you met Xiwen, and, you know, the collaboration, how the collaboration between the both of you and the both of the groups came together.
So Street Feeders, we had an event late last year with Pestle and Mortar, and to my surprise, they were brought on board to provide the food for our street friends. And I love what they were doing. Food waste is such a big thing. And in my head, if I could work with someone who addresses a larger cause at the same time as helping my community, it was a no-brainer. And so we've been working together for like 7 months now on various different projects and campaigns.
That's right.
And it's nice that, you know, this is something that we missed talking about earlier, Xiwen, you know, you are tackling a huge environmental problem.
That's
food
right.
waste, mm-hmm. right? You know, I mean, that all boils down to agriculture and, you know, the removal of forest land for, you know, for farmland. And there's so many different issues that
That's
it
right.
is, right? So, I mean, why did you want to address that as well? And how well do you think you're doing in that area?
I think for choosing food waste as a cause, it really comes down to the whole journey as to why I started SESO as well. I always wanted to do something. I think, you know, all audience out there, if you're like a young person, you really want to do something and you always know that you want to do something, So I did what everyone else did. I went out there. I tried different organizations. I actually tried different courses. I tried like dialysis, orphanages. I was actually teaching in this Down syndrome school for like half a year. But I guess end of the day, I'm a food lover. And it just seems to be the dumbest problem in the world where on one hand, we have so much food wasted. And on the other, we have people going hungry.
Yeah.
And I think just to share some statistics and data, which most Malaysians, you know, we food lovers may not know. I think back in 2011, Malaysians used to waste 960 tons of food. And to 2014, we started wasting 8,000 tons of food every day.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, based on a study conducted by the Solid Waste Management and Public Cleansing Corporation, we are now wasting 16.5 thousand tons of food every day. And that is enough to feed 12 million people in Malaysia for three courses or like three meals a day. So the number will only just go up based on whatever statistics that we can see.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't stop this now, or the habits of people, how they consume food, how they buy food, how they store food, or even like, let's not talk about like recycling or decompose. Let's not go that part yet, because only 5% of this amount is being recycled at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite a worrying issue in Malaysia. And with knowing that, I think everyone, it's not like Cecil's problem or Street Feeders' problem or any NGO's problem. I think everyone has a role to play in this. And just to further elaborate on the issue on food waste, is that because we don't really have a comprehensive management waste management program or like regulations in Malaysia, unlike like some other countries. So these waste will go into the landfill and they will produce like a form of greenhouse gas, which is worse than our CO2,
Will
affect the environment.
Yeah, and you know, another issue that we find from supermarkets especially is, you know, people not wanting to buy the ugly vegetables or the ugly fruits and things like that. And I mean, you know, just kind of rethinking the way we look at food. And, you know, also things are relatively cheap in Malaysia, I would say, you know, just, and we've got a bit of a throwaway society. It's like, okay, well, if I buy six tomatoes, it's all right, you know. And so there's a lot of mindset change that needs to happen.
I think so. And I see it from my own eyes, because I used to live in the UK for like 6 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And people there actually target reduced price food.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like breads which are going to expire because they are reduced to like 10p or 50p.
Yeah.
Or like vegetables which are ugly. But the mindset is completely different from Malaysians, because we go to supermarkets, we want the most fresh, we want the best produce products, and the reduced price section, no one cares about those.
It's
really about the mindset.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, how are you working to kind of address that, you know, through your work as well?
Again, it's about awareness. That's why we start with like the university students, and with the upcoming event that I'm collaborating
with. If I could touch a bit about the campaign, I mean, when she talked about awareness, it's something that involves everybody at whatever age they may be. You know, when I started, when I was a little kid, my mom always tell me to finish up your food or stop all the way and send it to the starving people in Africa.
Right.
And I did that. I went all the way to Kenya thinking, you know, that's where food poverty was. But truth be told, we could be our own heroes in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
And if you can inspire the young, especially, to not waste food, not just in their circles and their communities, but even influence their friends, their families, their colleagues, It makes such a big impact for the community.
So, like, that's why the theme of the campaign is called Unleash Captain Zero, because everyone can be a Captain Zero.
What do you mean by Captain Zero, you know, for somebody who doesn't
Zero
understand?
Waste.
That's right. Okay. I mean, that is, you know, that is the gold standard that everyone needs to reach to. But, you know, like on a policy level, what would you like to see happening? Like France, for example, you know, they were the first country to ban supermarkets from throwing away or destroying unsold food, you know, forcing them instead to actually donate to charities and food bags and things like that, you know, and other countries have followed suit, Italy, for example. How do you feel about those sorts of policies? Would you like to see that as well?
Definitely, but I know that can be a long journey to achieve. So there are a few things that can be changed, like one be law, whereby you actually ask people to separate food waste from other kind of waste, because that will be good when it goes to the decompose pot. Also, it involves a lot of money to implement or to set up the system, the waste system. So now in Malaysia, I think think there are a few states which are starting to do it. And we have this thing called like the waste digester to digest all this food waste, which is good. But not everyone, again, is doing it. And it's very difficult when people don't separate their food waste from food other kind of waste because you can't throw everything in the digester itself. So yes, definitely we would want, if we can encourage, like even to move like the government or like the policymakers to do something with us, that would be great because it is, again, every effort, everyone's effort from top to bottom.
And, you know, in terms of Unleash Captain Zero, right? So you've been talking to students and, I mean, what have their feedback been? Are they really getting on board with it? Are they excited about these
things? It's a real conscious effort. I mean, we've been going around last few months speaking at various universities and colleges and just to see the enthusiasm on something that they can do. It doesn't take too much, like with street feeders, you have to turun padang a little bit, you have to get out of your house and do something and commit to that in some sense. But food waste is something you can do every day. You have at least 3 meals a day. You could bring about a conscious effort towards saving the community just at one plate at a time. Clean your plate, make sure you don't take too much. Tell your friends don't overeat during festive seasons.
Yes, because that's another season when there's extra, even more food wastage, if I'm correct, right?
It actually came as a surprise because we started the campaign thinking that no one would want to participate. Because again, food waste, even though it is a big issue, I always find it to be a very difficult issue to tackle because it's not like something instant that you can see the effect or the result. It's not like homelessness. It's not like orphanages. It's not like some diseases like that people have been helping, that you donate, you help, you see who or what the money or where the money is going to. Food waste, we are talking about 20 years later or next generation, next generation. So it's really difficult to pitch an idea which is in the future tense. You know, and to see like all the young people who are supposed to be future of not just Malaysia but the world to be so enthusiastic, it really touched us and I think encouraged us to want to do more of the campaigns and to encourage and to inspire more people.
And what I love about the campaign, besides just raising awareness, they collect foods and goods in their house that would have been kept on the shelf for the longest time, and they contribute it to SESO, and it gets cooked into a warm 3-course meal for the homeless. And the students themselves get that chance to walk the streets and see where their food is being channeled to. And in some sense, besides curbing food wastage, it's where food poverty is as well. People who go hungry every night.
And do you include them in your sessions, you know, with, you know, when you are going and preparing this food and, you know, feeding? I mean, are you also getting the students involved in that?
Yes. So the students, for example, one of the university's Reliance College, they have an in-house kitchen. So we actually did the cooking in their kitchen itself.
Okay.
So the students were very excited and they were happy.
Engaged.
I mean, it's not so much about really just helping people. So we want them to enjoy the journey, the experience of like spending time with friends, to learning something new, to experience something new, because that's where you can really inspire and get someone to start doing something that they really want to do. So they had a good session for cooking and to transporting the food to the venue and to serving. And that day I remember because the volunteers itself was more than 100 people. Sorry, I think like 60 to 70 volunteers. So you can imagine the street was filled with street friends of like 150 and volunteers of like 60 to 80 people.
It was a block party.
Massive. I can imagine.
It's just very, very massive street party.
I'm not sure if she added. Her concept is quite brilliant. And partly why the reason why I've partnered with her is because they really foster this community-like setting, right? The whole pop-up concept, getting the volunteers to take their orders, giving a street friend a choice on what coffee or tea would he like, or would he like to have a dessert with that, goes that extra mile and adding that layer of dignity that may not have existed.
Right. And I think that is so important, right? Just giving people that sense of dignity, because already if you're living on the streets, that is a loss of dignity for a lot of people. And I mean, that is already so demoralizing. And just to have some friends and, you know, people who care about them, that I think is, you know,
exactly. I mean,
wonderful.
I feel they get desensitized when they have to line up and pick up their food. But in an evening like when SESO hits the streets, to have someone sit next to you, share a meal, talk to you, it really makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, sometimes it backfired as well, because we say coffee or tea, they ask for like ice limau, coffee wow. ice, or like Milo ice. We're getting there. Pop-up mama, but not real mama
yet. Not quite. Maybe one day. But I mean, talk to me also about challenges, you know. I mean, it's lovely that you're collaborating, but I'm sure there are challenges to all of this. And, you know, what have been some of the main ones?
I'm sure there are differences between like us as such a young organization and Gary, who's very established. So for us, young organization, I think one of the biggest challenges will be manpower. The core team consists of like the three of us, me and two other core team members, who are in charge of operations and marketing. And but the three of us all have a full-time job.
Sure.
So you have no idea how many times, like when I go back after a very tiring day, I just feel like giving up because it's so time-consuming and it's really tiring. But I guess you can't just be a quitter, and you know, let's not forget why we started this, the course and all that. So it really comes down to a discipline and commitment, and we are strongly trying to recruit more volunteers and for enthusiastic people to join SESO to help the cause, to be part of the team. And that's why we also have a lot of collaborations like with Gary, and hopefully now we are also collaborating with this other NGO, Pit Stop, to collect supplies from them. So again, it's how the whole ecosystem work, whereby supplies goes amongst the people who need them.
And I mean, Gary, you know, from your experience of street feeders, you know, how important is that, you know, building those sort of networks with other NGOs, with other people, you know, doing the similar sort of work, right?
It's really important. I mean, part of the reason why I've teamed up with Seso and Shiwen in particular is I didn't have that help at 1 year plus, right? I really had to work my way up, build my foundation. And it took me a little bit longer than I may have wanted just to get there, simply because there was no network. Or rather, I came in very naively thinking everyone would work together and very naturally. It is a bit sad that there are a lot of great organizations out there having the same cause, but they cannot seem to pull their resources together to really bring about change, simply because of indifferences or whatever it may be. But I think if we put that aside, and the big word here is probably ego, we could really do so much more than one person could possibly do.
I think to add on to that, it's very true that people are more skeptical of non-profit organizations nowadays as well. I don't blame them, because of course they have been like bad apples, bad eggs in the basket. So for young organizations like us, in order to establish ourselves and gain trust, for people to believe in us, in SESO, in what we do, in our cause, it really is another hurdle. So with some sort of endorsement from like Gary or Street Feeders, who have been there for quite long, I think that's definitely important. And we just have to keep going and build better team, let people know who they are working with. I think that's very important, more than just the big name, the NGO name out there.
I think besides the resources that we can offer each other, it's really just that support system that's lacking. You know, she was talking a bit about the why we still do it, the slight burnouts you might get, to know that you're not alone, to have someone to remind you that there's so much more ahead of us, that we can do this together. Really makes a difference.
Yeah, because, you know, the greater the collaboration, the greater the impact, you know,
exactly.
That would be the natural progression of things, right? But talk to me about volunteers. You know, what sort of volunteers, are you looking for particular skill sets perhaps? Or, you know, who would be on your wish list, I suppose, of people to collaborate with?
Depends on the level of collaboration. Again, if it's in relation to awareness, of course, we want like good chefs to be there to educate people how you can actually be a Captain Zero, be a real Captain Zero, how you can eat every part of the potato, for example. Those are education and knowledge that not everyone knows.
Yeah.
So in terms of that, of course, we want like good chef. So like chef out there, please come and join SESO.
She's a good chef, but I believe anyone who's willing to and can cook.
Yeah. To cook, right?
Not poisonous.
We don't need iron chefs. So. But
in terms of like just serving and cooking on a daily or a regular SESO feed, really, just enthusiastic volunteers. I think people with the right heart, with the right mind to want to really join this cause, we are more than welcome. Because I think these are the people that will go far hand in hand with us to collaborate together and to serve the community better.
And, you know, you are having an event on the 25th of April. Tell me a little bit about that. What's happening?
So we're having a little private premiere for Avengers Endgame. And the reason why we picked that movie, it's, I love superheroes. I think the ideals behind it, the inspiration that comes with it, resonates with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And this event in particular, besides to create awareness about CESO and to launch their food sharing platform, mm-hmm. it's also a chance for the community to come together. Mm-hmm. So some people may not be able or willing to hit the streets and mix with our street community, mm-hmm. but one third of this hall is going to be filled with the street community.
Definitely.
Homeless people, underprivileged youths. And for a moment in time, people who may have never had the chance to walk into a cinema will get that. And when the movie starts, no one will know the difference who's of what social class, and mm-hmm. and everyone would come out hopefully enjoying themselves and feeling one community mm-hmm. in some sense.
Mm-hmm. That is what you're trying to target as well, besides anything,
right?
Right?
Just to allow them have an opportunity, like once in a lifetime opportunity to have a great night, mm-hmm. you know, to spend with the community at
Plus
a larger scale.
It's Avengers. It's going to be great.
I know.
Who doesn't want to see the Avengers?
Exactly.
So that's happening on three. But that already, I mean, is full, right? Is that capacity
already? Yes, we're at full house. Yeah.
Okay, that's lovely. So, I mean, mm-hmm. it'll be great. And then people get to mingle and meet, you know, everyone from different walks of life.
And real-life superheroes as well. Because part of the guests that are coming are everyday social activists and people who are helping the community. So it's beyond having your superheroes on a big screen, it's mixing with real-life everyday superheroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
Captain Zeros.
Captain Zeros.
Exactly. What are Captain Zeros?
So what are some of your plans moving forward? I mean, what are some things in the pipeline?
So CESO is launching a food sharing platform on the 25th at the event itself. Mm-hmm. So again, I think this food waste, it's our ultimate end game is, of course, to provide a platform for all parties to be able to share food together. So not just like one NGO collecting and like giving to homeless people, or like, you know, just one party doing one thing. That's just not efficient. So we've created this platform whereby we are trying to engage all retailers, all food-related organizations to be on board. Mm-hmm. And everyone can subscribe to the platform and get a good deal out of food which are going to be thrown away.
Okay.
You know, reduced price food or like after a certain hour when the food is just still good, but it's good for promotion for all these like restaurants and hotels and basically all food-related merchants can be on the platform. And we are also introducing a program which is called You Buy a Deal and You Donate a Meal. Mm-hmm. So whatever deal that you get from this platform, we'll donate a meal to our beneficiaries.
Lovely.
So we are currently doing physical due diligence to people who we think need food in Malaysia, not just the street, but orphanages, old folks home. All this will be under the beneficiaries of CESO, and it will be benefited from this program.
Okay.
So
right.
At the same time, when you get a good deal, you do something good too.
So everyone
wins.
Nice balance. What is the name of the platform? Does it have a...
It's called Project FOOSH. Mm-hmm. So FOOSH, which stands for food sharing.
Okay. Yeah. All right, and it's going to be, it's like an app?
It starts with an online platform, so it will be online website and
first.
Then
right.
Next month it will be introduced as an app.
Lovely, and that's going to be just free for everyone to download?
Free for everyone to download.
Okay, and anyone can get involved, of course.
Everyone.
Okay, lovely. Any last message then that you'd like to leave us with?
I think coming back to why CESO does what we do and what we are proud of what we do is really not about the big collaborations that we have done, you know, how many food or meals that we have served, but really to come to realise how a small change can make such a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So again, don't need to aim for the highest to make a change like immediately for tomorrow, but start today to really, like what Gary said, just finish food on your plate. Try to be more conscious or aware about the food that you purchase or store or eat and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really down to the small difference that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you to maybe tell them where they could find out more info and how they can get involved, but
I'll do that.
I would definitely say be your own hero. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether food waste or homelessness is your thing, but find your passion, what drives you.
Mm-hmm.
Bring about change in your small little ways.
Mm-hmm. Everyone can make a difference, right?
Exactly.
Everyone.
All right, lovely. So if anyone would like to get in touch with you, I can see that you guys are on Facebook. There's also Instagram. I mean, you also have a website, sasomai.com?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Any other platforms that we can follow you on, or, you know, how can we get in touch with you? Those would be the best ways.
Yeah, I think just follow us on social media. And the schedules for all our Sasso meals mm-hmm. will be uploaded there. So we'll be posted. So if anyone would like to join, can follow closely to our schedules and just drop us a message.
Okay, wonderful. Again, so their website is sesomai.com. So that's sesomy.com. And just find out how you can get involved. And everyone can get involved. You know, that's the beauty of this. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Tan Shi Wen. She's the founder and CEO of Sesso, which stands for Save Our Environment, Save Ourselves. And Gary Liu, who is the founder of Street Feeders and also a co-partner in Sesso. And we were discussing the work that the organization does and how everyone can get involved. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.